Disco.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and man, oh man, we're firing on all eight cylinders today. Other than Tanner Faust is calling in just a few minutes. We're going to get down and dirty with Tanner Faust, find out what he's been doing in this offseason. We're going to talk about these Volkswagen Andretti stories and, find out what it's like to be in that new Beetle. We're also going to have Jen Horsey, veteran motorsports analyst. She's going to be calling in later on in the show. We're going to talk a little bit about Global Rallycross. We're going to talk a little bit about all kinds of motorsports. I know she's been covering this big Formula One storyline with Gene Haas. We may even dabble in Formula One a little bit today, so it should be exciting. But, man, oh, man, it's going to be a great show today. It looks like right now we may have Tanner Faust calling in, so let's see if we can pick him up. How's everything going, Tanner?
Going great. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I got to tell you, the last time you and I caught up was in Las Vegas on GRC Live Radio. So a lot has happened since then, my friend.
That is the truth.
Well, before...
yeah, we've...
What's that?
Go ahead, Jim. A lot of things have changed manufacturers, and, pretty late start to the season this year, and also racing some other types of racing this year. So there's awfully a lot going on for such an early time in the year.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk a little bit about, obviously, Volkswagen and Andretti. I mean, we all know you had a great relationship with Ford, and I know somebody like you. I mean, you're challenged. You like looking at, things as a challenge. And, obviously, you've won two GRC championships. You got second last year. Moving into this offseason, Michael Andretti decides to come in. How did this whole deal, come about?
Well, like you said, the relationship with Ford was awesome, and it's since 2009, first meeting up with Andreas and Jamie when they were doing Pikes Peak and getting them involved there with X Games, and it's a great team over there, both in the company and in the race team. And so there was a new challenge that came up with Volkswagen and racing the Beetle, which is kind of one of the most iconic car shapes, I think, in the world. And there's GRC represents such a great opportunity to kind of showcase the talent set for small car racing in the U.S. and racing cars that you don't usually see racing. And I think the Beetle is the perfect fit for that kind of edgy racing with these kind of smaller entry-level cars. And so it's just a great opportunity. And then when you mix in Andretti, it'll up the game of the whole series, I think, because Andretti brings indie racing and sports car racing and of course, one of the most well-known names in racing in the world to a sport like GRC. It's just up the game. So it's a place where it couldn't pass up being with that kind of combination, and I'm really, really excited about it.
Well, and I know with the Volkswagens, obviously, normally, you look at most motorsports and, whether it be Toyota when they went into NASCAR or, various manufacturers when they've got into Formula One, it seems like, there's usually a few years growth period, but it seems like the Volkswagens, I mean, we both saw them run last year in GRC, at some select events, and they were very quick out of the box. So it's got to be exciting for you moving to this platform that can be competitive right away.
Well, yes, and Volkswagen is a big company, and it's a company founded on really, strong engineering. And there's the street cars show that, but also now, for the first time for me, working with the motorsports side of Volkswagen, it carries through the whole, that whole culture carries through the company. And so when they approach something like this sport, and I don't think it would matter if it was Formula One or NASCAR or GRC, they approach it with this with such kind of a disciplined mentality to come in to win. And so the polos that we're running at the beginning of this year and the polos that you saw last year were actually developed by a private team, by Marklin's team, who's been running those in Europe. And then sometime mid-season, hopefully by X Games, then we'll have the Beatles that will have been developed, built, engineered completely solely by Volkswagen Motorsports. And so the process of developing those cars with these engineers is just it's incredible. I mean, I feel really kind of honored to be able to get to work with these guys. These are the same engineers that developed the WRC cars, the Polos that have taken over the world of WRC, which is, you know, a huge motorsport worldwide, and did it in their first year of competition. So these are smart guys, and it's awesome to kind of get to mix it up with those guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think that's definitely something we should talk about. You know, Volkswagen, talking about them as a company and how they approach things. Obviously, you know, Dakar, they've been highly successful. You know, WRC, I remember, you know, reading an article prior to last season, and they were basically saying, oh, we have a three-year plan to be competitive in WRC. Well, you know, you and I both know that went out the window. They won the championship in the first year, and it wasn't just winning the championship. I mean, they dominated.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there is an air of under-promising, over-delivering. For sure, but it's, you know, for somebody like me, I come from, you know, living in the back of my pickup truck, going to SCCA races and then drifting and you know, rally racing in the U.S., which has never been hugely popular. And so, you know, always kind of in the shadows of motorsport, drifting and, you know, working on that side, never really traditional motorsport. Then to all of a sudden be on, you know, Andretti Autosports team with these Volkswagen engineers that are just at the absolute top of the game. It's a real great adjustment. And when you get with these guys, what happens is as a driver, all the onus is on you because they have everything else figured out. The car is right. The mechanics are good. You know, everything is right on the car. So anything that goes wrong is now your fault. So you got to make sure as a driver that your game comes up to that level also.
Yeah, for sure. And what's it been like, I mean, you know, working with Michael Andretti, a guy that, you know, obviously he's got such a diverse background in motorsports. And, you know, he's one of the, you know, in addition to your teammate Scott Speed, one of the last Americans to run in Formula One. What's it like been, you know, working with him and seeing his vision for motorsports?
Well, Michael is a pretty interesting guy. I mean, he's ultimately competitive, obviously coming from the driving background, but he has such a good handle on the promotions and the total package of what it is to be a motorsports team, not just for the sponsors. So he keeps at the top of the game competitively, but also, you know, all the sponsors that are on the different cars, whether it's IndyCar, sports cars, or GRC cars, they're all encouraged to, you know, network and communicate together, so it's more value for sponsors than just stickers on a car. There's a whole network that centers at Andretti Autosport, and so he's got such a good perspective and handle on how to make a business in motorsport that I'm not sure many other companies really do. It's a great education for me to see how to do it right.
Well, and, you know, let's talk a little bit about the 2014 GRC season. Obviously, you know, there's some big changes that went on starting in about Vegas, you know, with Red Bull coming on as the title sponsor. But this offseason now we've got, you know, we're talking network television with NBC. As a driver, it's got to be pretty exciting, especially after seeing the venue that was in Las Vegas, you know, about 2014 and the series future.
Well, GRC really just kind of keeps on making big jumps every year. It's such a new series, and it hits such an interesting demographic and is such kind of an interesting motorsport for a lot of reasons that it's growing so fast. I mean, yeah, having Red Bull on ups the game in a lot of ways, if not anything else, just from their media company and their media outreach. Then you have with different manufacturers coming on board, raising the level of competition. And then with NBC, I mean, Colin Dine and Chip Pankow and those guys at GRC have been really doing their work to add value to the series for us. and to get it in front of the eyeballs of new people. But our core demographic of this really young demographic, I think, is still the stronghold and what keeps the sport really alive right now. And it's growing fast.
Well, you know, and skipping forward to 2014, I know you mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, running different series. And I know, you know, Rob McCracken, he's a good friend of mine. Obviously, I know you went out and you've been running his Pro 2 a little bit. We're going to see you this weekend in Elsinore, I believe, correct?
Yes, I'll be out there Friday, Saturday. It's a night race. So I think it's the first time in Elsinore they'll race under the lights. And what an eye-opening experience that test was. Holy crap. That was like, you know, the jumps are huge. There's, I think you do a 170, 180-foot jump every lap. Also another 150-foot jump every lap. And, I mean, it's just, it's almost comical how much time you're in the air around that track at Elsinore. And so I eased into the test and got comfortable and got familiar with the truck. And now it's just a matter of getting a seat in the right place and going for it on Friday.
Yeah, how has it been driving that truck? I mean, you know, I've talked with Bryce and I've talked with some guys that, you know, that cross over and go back and forth, but I kind of want to get your feel for it because, you know, I've driven the off-road trucks and I've tested with Andreas the rally cars, and to me it's just two totally different animals. But there is some stuff that you can take away. I mean, is there anything you know, being in an all-wheel drive car, transferring over to a Pro 2, is there anything you've been able to take away, or is it kind of relearning everything that you've known?
You know, it's, I always say kind of, you know, when because I get to do a lot of things with cars, whether it's on ice or stunt driving or whatever, that, you know, anything with four wheels and some pedals and a steering wheel, anytime you're sliding it around, it helps. And it all translates. It's the fine-tuning that's really different. So with the Pro 2 truck, it's all squishy and soft, and so you're more thinking about keeping it from bicycling over onto its side than anything else. And then it's about adapting to the track, where in a lot of forms of racing, the track is predictable one lap to the next. With the off-road racing, every single lap you come by, little spots have dried out, little bits of grip have kind of developed in this corner and maybe not in another corner. So the guys who are really good are the ones that can adapt to the track as it's changing, you know, in the race, not even from day to day, but literally during the race, they can find the little pieces of grip and then use them to beat the other guys every lap.
Well, it's, you know, this has kind of got to be exciting to you going into this Pro 2 event this weekend. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got the usuals, Carl Renezetter, Rob McCracken, but then, you know, you've got Brian Deegan, who you're all, you know, all too familiar with. You've got Travis Pastrana coming out. You know, it's kind of, you know, like an X Games of you know, it's kind of almost like a miniature X Games event.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. And you know, the facility at Elsinore is awesome. You know, the fans are right there. It's like they're getting dirt kind of flung on them while the trucks are in the air. You can see the guys midair taking tear-offs and stuff. And that's probably the one real disadvantage I have on this is the jumping, which sounds strange because I still have the world record for the longest jump, which was in a Pro 2 truck. But Pastrana and Deegan and a lot of these guys, McGrath, that come from jumping motorcycles their whole lives, they have a really good feel for how to fly a vehicle off of a jump and keep the attitude of the bike or truck in the air correct. So there's a real specific amount of throttle that you have coming off of these jumps so that they don't nose up and nose down. There's a little bit of adjustment you can do in the air with the brake, but it's really not that much at these speeds. So that was the test day, the whole first test day. It felt like I was focusing on just making sure that I was lifting off the throttle enough before the end of the lip of the jump so that the nose didn't fly too high on the trucks. It's a weird feeling, but it's a lot of fun to get used to.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of the, you know, the jump you did within the Hot Wheels truck, you know, Pro 2 Hot Wheels truck, you know, obviously a heavily modified Pro 2. I mean, any chance we're going to see you try and break that record again, or is that something you're pretty happy to sit on?
Well, we almost had to push fast forward on getting back onto the ramps there because, you know, there was an attempt in France on the jump with a Mini, but it ended up going south and the guy crashed, and I, you know, he was okay. But so that, if he would have broken the record, I think we would have suddenly been trying to get the ramps out of storage and get a new record going. But now that was a great program with Hot Wheels, and Hot Wheels is in full swing. It's been a while since we've done a stunt. We did the loop a few years ago at X Games, the double loop. And so I loved that the whole program around the record jump, because we jumped like 50 times. We didn't modify the Pro 2 truck that much. I mean, kind of aerodynamically, but it's that truck was very similar to the trucks that you'll see at Elsinore this weekend. Just had, you know, Hot Wheels body on it. We made some suspension changes just for the flight, but that's a good time. 4 seconds of airtime in a car doesn't sound like a lot, but it feels like a lot from the inside.
Is this the relationship with Hot Wheels? I mean, is this something where you think these ideas up, or they do and just come to you and say, "Hey, Tanner, we need a driver." I mean, you know, obviously the jump, you've done the double loop. You know, is this something they come up with and you're just along for the ride with their ideas?
Well, you just go to any toy store and look on the shelves, and the ideas are already there. They've already got all the toys made, you know. So it's just a matter of, like, what would you do? Would you do this one? And, you know, they look at some crazy loop, and it's like, well, maybe. And so it's literally just toys for real on their program. They're just, you know, thinking about what they've got on the shelves and thinking if they made that full scale and for real, you know, would you be willing to get in and give it a try?
Yeah. And let's go back real quick. You know, question I missed about Andretti, though, and it's something, you know, talking about all these different series that you're running, and, you know, obviously you've got the Formula Drift, you've done Rally America, you know, Global Rallycross, you know, list goes on. Talking about, you know, the Andretti relationship, you know, obviously, you know, you do really well on tarmacs. Is there any chance, you know, and I'm not saying actually in competition, but seeing some test time and maybe one of his road racing cars, or, you know, maybe testing an Indy car on a road race? I mean, is it something that... you know, that you'd like to do? Is there a door open there to possibly see you maybe dabble in that a little bit?
I'd love to test road race stuff. The first type of racing I got involved in was road racing. It was just, it's really a difficult sport to get going as a driver, kind of on your own dime. And I saw rally and drifting as more viable places to get into the racing game and get my mattress out of the back of my pickup truck, basically. So there, but I love road racing. It's a totally different beast with sports cars versus maybe Indy cars. That's one thing that a lot of the skill sets that you get playing with these other race cars maybe doesn't really translate, is the aerodynamic racing. And when I talk to Scott, who's got, you know, so much experience with downforce cars, with Formula cars, Formula One cars, it's amazing. You know, I did get to drive some Formula cars throughout the years here that had good aero, and what a trip! I mean, once you're in fourth gear in those things, where like a normal sports car, maybe that's when you have to be smooth with the inputs, and you're thinking about, oh, you have so much momentum, you could slide off the track here or there. Once you hit like a high gear in a real aero car, that's when you can do no wrong. You can stab the brakes, jerk the wheel, do all those sorts of things, because the aero will just keep you on the ground no matter what. And so it's amazing what those drivers go through, and it would be fun to kind of learn and experience that.
Well, and do you think, you know, talking about this season, I mean, obviously you and having, you know, Scott Speed as your teammate, and he was a teammate, you know, last year. Obviously, I think, you know, you were OMSC and he was OMSC too. But, you know, moving into this year, you know, you with a lot of background in the dirt, and then you've got Scott with a ton of the road racing background. Do you feel like both of you can work together to develop this platform, you know, with your diverse backgrounds?
I think we can. I think it's a really good mix. I think there's... Scott brings such a different perspective to the setup than I've had. I mean, remember, in Rallycross, I have only been with one team, just with OMSC, from the beginning. And so I've only really had that perspective of setup. And when you feel a certain thing in the car and you want to make it do something differently, my instinct is to go with certain changes, suspension changes, et cetera. Or Scott comes in from a totally new perspective, and he's thinking, oh, well, why don't we do this or why don't we do that? And... sometimes those things work. So it's great to have a new perspective. And then maybe, you know, Scott and I can do things in road racing also together. So there's, it does open some doors, not just in developing our rallycross cars, but also kind of racing in other disciplines.
Yeah, for sure. Well, moving forward, you know, obviously we've got, you know, Barbados. We're, I think, less than a month out from that. It's got to be exciting for you, that being, you know, you being kind of one of the faces of Top Gear USA, you know, having the Top Gear Festival down there. It's kind of got to be a great crossover for you and got you pretty excited for the opening round.
That's going to be bizarre. It's going to be really weird. It's, yeah, it's going to be mixing of worlds for sure, probably. And I am really excited about it. I have worked with the UK Top Gear guys before, and I've met them all. And but going down there and working with the UK show with Clarkson May and Hammond is going to be a pretty amazing experience. They've got a lot of stuff going on for the festival. I think they're, you know, playing a soccer game with cars, and there's other like motorsports events and cool things that all have to do with their LA or their Top Gear live events that they do, and I've never gotten to be a part of that, so that'll be a first. And then, of course, racing down on the island with the rallycross cars and being a part of that with GRC, it's going to be really weird to be on Top Gear set and have a driving suit at the same time, because those are usually kind of separate parts of my life, so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and you know, and I know last year, you know, traveling with a series time, I've seen you, and you're one of the drivers. I mean, you literally are bouncing all over the place at these events. And I look at this Top Gear Festival and go, man, Tanner's always, you're already all over the place at the GRC events. I can only imagine in an event like this how, you know, how spread thin you're going to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, my focus is the race, for sure. And, I mean, this, I would, to be honest, I would never schedule a Top Gear U.S. show on top of a race weekend, just because I would be spread too thin, because I'd have real split responsibilities there. But the UK show is going to, you know, keep on doing its thing, and I'll try to jump in where I can, as long as it doesn't really make anything suffer on the racing side. So my core is going to be taking care of the GRC duties that we have there. It's our first race together with the team, first race with these polos, and, you know, there's going to be some kinks to iron out, and so that's priority one. But any fun I can have with those guys with the Top Gear show is going to be a blast. So hopefully there are some cracks in the schedule there.
For sure. So before we let you go, we got a couple you know, I put this out last week on social media, you know, and you know, told them about your interview, and everybody hit me with all kinds of questions. So we're going to have a few rapid fire questions, so to speak. So first up,
too early,
yeah.
Jim.
So, these are pretty mellow, but first up,
okay.
What's your favorite track you've run in Global Rallycross thus far?
Ooh, in Global Rallycross, I would say visually the last Las Vegas track in front of the Luxor there was extremely nice. GRC did a great job of making this a good track. Also, with the minimum amount of dirt that it had, the turnover from heat to heat was awesome. But the most fun track to drive was the previous year's track in Las Vegas, just outside of SEMA.
Oh, I had the big crossover jump. That was, that was a pretty awesome track.
Yeah, that was a good track. In the European series, there's a track in Hungary. I know it sounds a little strange, but this track in Hungary is phenomenal. And these purpose-built tracks that have been around for 40 years are so amazing, with the elevation change and the big, like, drifting jumps and stuff. That, I mean, you could spend a week there and never get bored. It's pretty awesome.
All right. And speaking of Euro, what are some of the differences in competing in the European Rallycross versus, you know, Global Rallycross?
The European schedule of the weekend schedule, there's a lot more driving. And so the drivers all kind of save their cars. There's not so much demolition derby type of driving. So, and if you have a problem, a flat tire or something like that, you're going to get enough racing to make your way back up to the final race and get in a good qualifying position. So it's a little bit less desperate, I would say. And as a driver, obviously, more driving is fun.
Yeah, for sure. Formula Drift and Rally America, obviously you're a veteran of both series. I think, you know, last I checked, you're still one of the winningest Formula Drift drivers ever. which is saying a lot, especially with the way the bar's been elevated there in the past couple of years. You know, any chance we're going to see you back in, say, a Rally America or Formula Drift car at any point in the future?
I mean, it's funny you say that because those two series always pop up in conversation. And, I mean, there's always murmurings of building some ridiculous drift car and coming out, maybe not doing a full championship, but getting in a few runs. And, yes, the sport has changed. What the judges are looking for has changed a lot, so that would be an adaptation for sure. And Rally America, I'm always looking to get back in. I love rally racing. It's so cool. I hope at some point in Europe to jump in one of the WRC Polos and take that for a test. It would be really a dream to do that.
Yeah, that would I'd be stoked to see. You know, and especially just get your comparisons on, you know, a car, you know, spec for WRC versus a car spec for GRC. And obviously I know with the GRC cars, the horsepower is bumped up a bit, but it'd be interesting to see, you know, really, you know, if you had them side by side, some of the differences in driving them.
For sure. I'd be game for that. I mean, they're so techy. The WRC cars are way more than twice as expensive to develop and build, mainly because they have to run straight for 3 days. The GRC car needs to run for 10 minutes. WRC cars are amazing creatures, so I would love to get a hold of one.
All right, next up, next question. Favorite car outside of your competition cars, favorite street car that you've driven?
That's a tough one because it kind of depends what you had for breakfast, right? The mood changes a little bit. But not to sound too fickle, but I'd say one of the greatest supercars, and granted, I've been incredibly lucky with, you know, the various shows that I've done have been all about driving fast cars generally, except Top Gear. It's usually about driving old cars. But like Supercars Exposed and Battle of Super, all those old shows, all we did is go out and beat up on supercars. And one that stuck out in my mind was the Carrera GT Porsche, which unfortunately is the car that Paul Walker died in. But I spent a lot of time in the Carrera GTs over the span of those shows. And it's just one, if you ever like slide around in a go-kart and you feel like, my gosh, why isn't, you know, sliding around in a car this easy? That was one car that you could get into it and slide it around having never driven it before. And it just felt like a perfect fitting glove. It's just an awesome machine.
But I got to ask you, this is a personal question, because I've been in Lamborghinis before. I've been in Porsches. The one that I've I've never even seen one in person, and I know you've been in one, the Bugatti. How was driving one of those?
That was an exercise in, I think it's a glimpse into the future, I'll be honest. You know, you talk to people with Bugattis, and that when they talk about Bugattis, it's like, oh, it doesn't go around a racetrack fast. It only drives fast in a straight line, and there's lots of questions of, you know, its validity or why did, you know, Bugatti do that, or Volkswagen, really, since Volkswagen owns Bugatti. But when you drive them and you learn about the engineering challenges that they had, you know, somebody hit a bird at like 220 miles an hour, and so, you know, then rather than using aluminum, they use titanium for everything on the front part of the car, and the tire technology, suspension, the aero technology to handle those speeds. I mean, these are the speeds that our kids or our kids' kids will be driving. And so this is a pioneering car. Yeah, they don't make money, even though they cost $2 million. They lose money on every one that gets sold, but it is, you know, an investment into the future of the automotive industry and learning the lessons on what is safe at that kind of speed.
Yeah, they just, you know, everything I've, you know, read about them, you know, watched about them, it's just the engineering that goes into those cars. You know, obviously, you know, there's a ton of cars on the market, supercars that look amazing, but these cars, it just seems like it's just a notch above everything else.
Well, it's hard to describe really how the wall that we hit. And, you know, everything is getting faster and more capable in cars, and so it only is going to move where the Bugatti is. But there are limitations that you can only learn by making something like that. So, for example, the Bugatti, sure, you read about how if you go full throttle in the Bugatti, you'll run out of fuel within 8 minutes. But what people don't realize is that the tires will wear out in 6 minutes. just from the heat of going that fast. And so there are limitations, there are weak links in the chain of automotive speed that you don't really realize until you try it. And that's what the Bugatti is it's a poke out into the future and learning those lessons before anybody else.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's amazing to see 5, 10, 15 years out what kind of automotive technologies, not just in the exotics, but that's going to trickle down into, the everyday, say people's daily drivers. I think, in the past 10 years, you look what's happened and, 10, 15 years from now, it's really exciting to see what the future is.
It makes it so fast. It seems like there's a big disconnect between the edge of motorsport and the streetcar you're driving, but it makes it so it trickles down quickly. The KERS Formula One hybrid electric system out in the race cars, and within 5 years they're finding their way. Less than 5 years, they're in the street versions, and all of these technologies, even whether you're talking about tires lasting at speed or the use of hybrid systems or any kind of performances, it. The envelope only gets pushed through competition. Otherwise, what's the motivation to really spend the kind of development money that needs to be spent to break new ground? It happens through competition. And I think that's what you see with Rallycross, global Rallycross, European, either way. You see that it's really pushing the technological and performance boundaries of these smaller cars. And so I think the rules will start moving towards throttle-by-wire, start moving towards more relevant technologies, radial tires instead of bias ply, relevant technologies that we see in the street cars, so that trickle down can start happening with the smaller cars too.
Yeah, for sure. It's really exciting to think and see the future. And to be honest with you, you're going to be a part of it here, over the next 20, 30 years. But got one question left before we let you go. And this one just got shot to me. And it's from somebody you may know, Katie Osborne.
Yeah.
So she goes, ask Tanner what his favorite brand of coffee is.
Katie, come on. That's brutal. Obviously, I like Recovery Rockstar Energy Drink. My favorite form of coffee, my favorite brand of coffee. but if I was forced to actually get my caffeine from coffee, I would take a little bit of Blue Bottle from Manhattan.
Oh, nice.
Hope that's not too snobby.
No way. Well, I appreciate you taking the time today, Tanner, and obviously good luck in the 2014 season and definitely good luck this weekend out there at Elsinore. Looking forward to seeing you banging doors with the regulars and the not-so-regulars. I think it's going to be an exciting race weekend.
If I can keep up with the regulars enough to actually bang doors with them, then I'll be stoked. So let's hope that happens.
All right, my friend. Well, you take it easy, and we'll see you on the beach in Barbados here in about a month.
Oh, sounds rough. All right, thank you, Jim.
All right, thanks, Tanner.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, that was your two-time global rallycross champion, Tanner Faust, also a Rally America champion, one of the winningest Formula Drift drivers in history. Just great to have Tanner on air. You never know what's going to come up in conversation. Just always exciting, and one of the nicest, classiest guys you'll probably ever meet. Just a solid human being. Very stoked to have Tanner on air, and definitely this weekend, the Lucas Oil Series, Tanner is going to be in action against Pastrana, Bryce Menzies, Brian Deegan, Rennesetter, McCachran, LeDuc. It's definitely a stacked field, Lake Elsinore, this weekend. It's going to be exciting to see Tanner competing out there. It should be really exciting. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have Jen Horsey calling in. Jen Horsey, obviously a veteran motorsports personality, and it's going to be exciting to have Jen calling in on air. And we're going to talk a little bit about global rallycross, maybe a little Formula One, and who knows what else will come up in conversation. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School.
Dirtfish Rally School is the premier rally driving school on the West Coast, located in Snoqualmie, Washington. If you are looking for a ton of fun with world-class driving instructors honing your skills, Dirtfish is the place for you. Dirtfish has 315 acres of playground with mixed surfaces for your driving experience. You can spend anywhere from 2 hours to three intense days of instruction refining your driving and racing skills. Whether you are looking for credits towards your Rally America license, honing your racing skills, or just having a fun time, Dirtfish is your school. Your classroom is behind wheel of a 300-horsepower, rally-prepped Subaru STI. These cars have protective cages, suspension modifications, and are built for one purpose, to push you to your limit. By the end of your time at Dirtfish, you will have the confidence to rally with the best. Whether you're looking for a thrilling first-time rally experience or to increase your knowledge and time in the driver's seat, Dirtfish has a driving experience to suit your needs. For any information on their classes, corporate events, or their facility, check them out on the web at www.dirtfish.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dirtfish Rally. Rigid Industries is the original and number one LED light bar manufacturer in the world. Torture tested by some of the best drivers in motorsports. Rigid LED lighting products use cutting-edge technology and can stand up to the harshest conditions Mother Nature can dish out. Designed, engineered, and assembled in the United States, Rigid LED lighting is the only choice for your off-road vehicle or boat. Find out more information on the entire line of Rigid Industries LED lighting products at www.rigidindustries.com. Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are HANS compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners. And for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino. On the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just got done with an amazing interview with none other than Mr. Top Gear himself, Tanner Faust. Great having Tanner on, because you never know what's going to come up. We definitely get sidetracked talking about all kinds of things, but that's what makes his interviews fun. You just never know what you're going to be talking about. Such a gearhead, and always great having him on air. And looking forward to seeing him in action this weekend at the Lucas Oil Race at Elsinore, and definitely the 2014 season with Andretti Volkswagen. It's going to make for an exciting global rallycross season, that's for sure. So coming up in just a few minutes, we've got veteran motorsports personality Jen Horsey. She's going to be calling in, and we're going to talk a little bit of everything with Jen. It's going to be great. Been talking to her about getting her on air for a while, and she's definitely one of the busiest ladies in motorsports, and great to have her calling in. And later on in the show, we're going to debut the Down and Dirty Radio Show. We're going to debut a couple of new segments, not really new segments, but some stuff we haven't talked about. But we're going to dissect what we've learned so far in 2014 when it comes to desert racing, global rallycross, Torque, Lucas Oil, Rally America, Formula Drift, you name it. We're going to talk about each series and what we've learned so far this year and what to expect for the remainder of the year. And we're also in the Dirtfish Rally Report. We're going to debut our Global Rallycross Power Rankings, something new we're going to be doing, and it's going to be spread over a few various websites, and it's going to happen after every event. But we're going to debut my Global Rallycross Power Rankings, top 15, ranking them top to bottom, who I think is in a seat to win races and take the championship. So this is preseason, and we're taking all the rumors and news and storylines into consideration, and I've compiled the top 15 for Global Rallycross. You definitely want to stay tuned to that. It's going to be pretty exciting. Some other breaking news, over the weekend that just happened. A couple things we need to touch base on. Lara Sons, your X Games gold medalist from last year in women's endurocross. You took 3 out of 4 women's endurocross gold medals in X Games this year. She's slated to appear at X Games Austin. She has pulled the plug. She will not be at X Games Austin. I guess she's got a scheduling conflict. I believe it's in Europe with one of her world championships. Obviously, I think she's like a 10-12-time world champion, something crazy like that. So we're definitely, definitely bummed to see her not going to be in the hunt at X Games Austin. Definitely going to be a hole there in women's endurocross. But, lots of ladies definitely that can make a run at a gold medal. And, I would say with Laya out, probably, first in line, I think, your new number one contender, so to speak, maybe Maria Forsberg, but definitely bummed to see Laya Sons out. She was just ranked in the ESPN Top 50 Female Action Sports Athletes. She won't be competing at X Games in Endurocross, kind of a bummer. Also something that just broke literally a couple minutes before the show. I didn't get a chance to read the entire press release. It's probably out on most of the major websites now that cover news, but Ultra 4, they just inked a TV deal. I guess it's going to be spread across CBS Sports, Spike TV, and NBC Sports. I guess with re-airs, I heard something about all their events, are going to be aired, plus they're going to have a big blowout with King of the Hammers and the King of the Hammers champion. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to dissect it yet, but I'm just letting you guys know. It looks like we're going to see some Ultra 4 racing and King of the Hammers on television, and I tell you what, that is always a good thing. Can't get enough of King of the Hammers, and definitely going to be very cool to see it on television, and which looks like a pretty solid TV package. It's going to be sponsored by Nitto Tires, and it's a good thing. Anytime we see more and more off-road and action motorsports on TV, it seems like we're taking over lately, but it's definitely cool. So that's some good news. Got the bad news with Laya Sons out for X Games, got the good news with Ultra 4. So, it's a good time to be involved in action motorsports, that's for sure. Just looking at the X Games lineup. Talked with Robbie Gordon over the weekend, and, he's got his stadium super trucks, I should say, Formula Off-Road, for X Games lining up. And, we've seen the entry list, but looks like he's had about five different drivers in the past week come in and are going to be competing in X Games. It looks like he's trying for a few more. Looks like the Stadium Super Trucks field for X Games probably going to be around 30 deep by the time X Games Austin rolls around. So think about that. 30 Stadium Super Trucks competing at X Games Austin. My only hope is they've got a good heat race system to narrow this field down to a final, because if not, it's going to be utter chaos. And I think Robbie realizes that there's no way that you're going to see 30 cars out on course at one time. But I tell you what, it's going to be interesting. Looking at that entry list, you got not only guys, your regulars, obviously Robbie, PJ Jones. You've got guys like Kyle LeDuc coming in, who's going to be a great addition. Von Gittin Jr., he's a notable standout. I know Nick Baumgartner, he's just recently upped with Robbie for X Games. So, lots of great talent. Then you've got the young guns, Jarrett Brooks, Sheldon Creed, and then you've got coming in as well. You've got Viso, who darn near took the race at Long Beach. So definitely, looks to be like they're going to have a lot of entries for Stadium Super Trucks at X Games. We reported last week Global Rallycross at X Games. Ricky Johnson inking a Ford deal with Red Bull and KMC Wheels, according to his Instagram feed, and Ricky is going to be, Ricky's going to be at X Games. So, that's pretty exciting as well. I got to say, it's an exciting time to be a part of Action Motorsports. Like I said before, lots of good things happening and lots of TV, lots of press, and guys like Tanner, carrying the torch for everyone else. Not to mention Ken Block. Ken is launching the newest Gymkhana next Tuesday. I mean, I'm talking tomorrow. The new Gymkhana is going to drop tomorrow live on the internet. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, grab your cup of coffee and look for the latest Gymkhana. I guess talking with Ken's people last week, Ken will be my guest next week on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So yeah, we're back in Tanner Faust up with Ken Block. You can't get much better than that. But talking with Ken's people, it looks like this is going to be a little out of the box Gymkhana, a little soccer action, soccer with rally cars, so to speak. And he's got some great soccer personalities. Some of our worldwide listeners probably will recognize the names when they come out. So it looks like Gymkhana's dropping. I guess they're calling it Footkhana or something like that. But it's dropping tomorrow. So you're definitely going to be wanting to watch Ken's social media feed because, you're going to want to catch that. I think, what is this? Iteration 7, 6, 7. He's done so many Gymkhanas now. It's been such a great series. I'm losing track of how many he's actually done. This seems like it's those of you familiar with say like video games, this is, or movies. It's not necessarily a direct sequel. This is kind of a spin-off side project. So I don't know. It's it should be interesting, but anything with Ken's stamp on it is going to be good. He definitely doesn't normally put his name on something that's not going to be worth your 5 minutes of time on YouTube. So we're definitely going to be tuned in tomorrow for Ken Block's new Gymkhana dropping. Should be pretty dang exciting. And it's kind of interesting this past weekend. Not a whole lot happening. Easter weekend. Hopefully those of you were with your families and had a good time. Not a whole lot as far as motorsports coverage goes. I know we had a little bit of MMA fighting on Saturday night, but I got to tell you, I finally jumped in with both feet into Jason Ellis's book. I know it's been a long time coming, but I got to tell you, I'm through like three or four chapters now, and let's talk about a great read. This is a guy that I definitely have a lot of respect for and what he's accomplished and what he's been through. And definitely, you guys looking for a great feed, I think Jason Ellis's book is definitely one of those. Looks like we got a caller, and my guess is it's going to be Jen Horsey. So let's see if we can pick Jen up. How's everything going, Jen?
It's good, Jim. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. We just got done talking with Tanner for about 30 minutes, and I think we've solved the world's problems.
Excellent. Good, good.
So, how's everything been with you? I know, we're going to talk a little bit about GRC. I know you were at GRC Media Day. I know you've also been covering this Formula One, this U.S. Formula One announcement with Gene Haas.
Always interesting to hear any development in motorsport. My passion, obviously, is rallycross, but very interesting to see a U.S. team trying to make it in Formula One. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think, on one of your social media feeds, you said, hey, you need to read this transcript. And I think it's like 6-7 pages long, and I read through the whole thing, and definitely an eye-opener. And I think, learning about some of the challenges that a U.S.-based Formula One team is going to face, I think with him having the wind tunnel and a lot of these, and obviously a company that can build, machine tools, I think we may finally have a shot at having a U.S.-based Formula One team.
Boy, I hope so. Multi-billion-dollar effort, as he calls it. But we'll have to see what happens. He's also talking about, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, but we're going to do this smarter. There have been a lot of teams that have gone before them who thought there were a lot of smarter ways to do stuff, and I think that they haven't been very successful. So I hope that he's got a formula for Formula One, but we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely something that's going to be exciting to see how it progresses over the next 6-8 months, especially if they're going to try and field a car in 2015 on the grid.
I know, such a quick turnaround. We've got rallycross teams that have taken longer than that to get into the sport, and that's an expensive endeavor and lots of technical development, but it is not at the level of Formula One. So,
for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about rallycross and global rallycross. You know, both of us were out at media day. You've definitely been involved in the sport of rally for a long time. I mean, you know, before global rallycross was even thought of, you know, you've been involved, you know, both in the, you know, navigator seat. I know you've driven in the past. You know, we were out at media day. You know, it's got to get you pretty excited about the future of global rallycross.
It was so great to see all the cars out there, a little course set up. That was such a beautiful venue down on the port with ocean views and, as you know, a blustery, windy day. And I can't wait to see as rallycross gets into some of these more creative venues. It's sort of harkening back a bit to the first season where we weren't as much on racetracks and more out in, you know, places like Dirtfish. So to see these purpose-built tracks and places like the SEMA event, which is a purpose-built track just kind of built into a parking lot, and can just be incredible. So I'm looking forward to seeing a few more of those kinds of facilities this year. Big challenges for the drivers and just a really great fan experience.
Yeah, I think, you know, it definitely with a lot of these venues moving away from the NASCAR type of tracks into these purpose-built facilities, I really think it's going to be able to showcase you know, what these cars can do a whole lot better than maybe some of the venues of series past.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing the venues moving a little closer to town and in town in some cases too. That always makes for an exciting race. I mean, if you look at IndyCar, I love the street circuits. Maybe the racing isn't as good on the street circuits sometimes, but the venue and the excitement and the fans just absolutely eat that up. But rallycross is so portable that I think these will be even better courses than we're accustomed to seeing at some of the racetracks that we've been at. And it'll be in an urban center where people can get to it and see it and really enjoy the experience.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you take something like, you know, say Long Beach, the Grand Prix at Long Beach, and it's such a huge event, and everybody loves going to that event. And, you know, it's obviously one of the, you know, I would say one of the premier events on the IndyCar Series calendar. But it takes up such a huge area of Long Beach. And then, you know, you've got Global Rallycross who says, hey, we're going to come in, we're going to put an event on in Long Beach, you know, San Pedro, Port of LA, you know, it's all, you know, pretty much the same area, but they use such a, you know, it's such a smaller footprint. It's so much easier to be able to do it, and I think a lot more cost effective.
A little more cost effective, but then they've got to truck in dirt and build huge jumps. So we're going to be seeing some pretty impressive circuits, I think. They're just going to be closer to town, which is really exciting.
Yeah, and then you know, and then obviously, you know, kicking things off, talking with Tanner just a few minutes ago in Barbados, it's got him pretty excited. You know, teaming up with Top Gear, I think definitely going to be a good tie-in with the series, and maybe bring some European fans over, you know, to kind of see what's happening here in the States. Maybe they don't, you know, get as much global rallycross coverage in Europe as they do, say, ERC or, you know, or, you know, or World Rally Championship. Maybe expose us to a new demographic.
Maybe expose us to a new demographic, but I got to say the islands down there have a massive, massive rally scene. So this won't be as foreign to them as you might think. I think that the locals are really going to get behind this. I was hearing from people the second this event was announced, looking for tickets, looking for how they can get in, which day should they go. I told them to go to both and that they should definitely get their tickets as soon as they could. I think we're going to see some big fans there, and it's going to be a really popular event. And I think that, you know, the Top Gear Festival, obviously there are a lot of things going on, but I think the Rallycross event is going to be a real highlight for a lot of fans.
Yeah, I think it definitely, you know, you talk about this festival, and I, you know, obviously, you know, having the Stig there and Lewis Hamilton and all these other people that are going to be involved, I think, you know, that's definitely a draw. But I think it's the global rallycross and the action that's going to happen out on track that's really got people amped up.
And it's the opening of the season, and everybody's got new cars that they've been building and testing in the off season. They're going to be fast. They're going to be looking for that first win. And, I mean, you can't beat the backdrop. I'm going down a little early, I think, and spending a few days on the beach.
Yeah, I know. I was talking with Ken Block, and he goes, you know, what's better? He's like, I'm going to have a family vacation and, you know, and bring my race team and race. He's like, I really can't think of a better venue.
can't wait. Can't come soon enough. Especially because I'm currently, although I live in California part-time, I'm in Toronto, which is a little bit chillier. So I am looking forward to getting back out to some sunshine.
Yeah, I'm sure. Definitely looking forward to some sunshine. Let's talk a little bit. I know you've got a rally background in the past, and we'll go back to Global Rallycross talk here in a little bit. But you've got a background, and it's definitely gives you a great having been in the car, it's given you a great outlook as both a journalist and a reporter, and color commentator about rally. And any chance we're going to see you back in a car at some point?
I'm not sure. I haven't competed. Last year was the first year that I did not compete at all in 12 years. So I will occasionally step in and co-drive. I don't have the budget to be a driver. That was an exercise in frustration for me. I loved it, but it was just too tough. And as a co-driver, I haven't been able to commit to a full season, which makes it tough. So I'll step in occasionally if the right driver invites me in to sit with him as a sub. I will occasionally do that, but as I say, last year was the first year that I haven't competed in a long time. Missed it a little bit. We'll see as the year wears on if I continue to miss it more.
Yeah, I may get the itch and have to show up at one of the events, huh?
Yeah, occasionally that happens, and I start looking around. I'm like, anybody need a substitute? my favorite thing to do is I really enjoy working with young developing drivers, helping them to refine their notes. And, you know, there's a real tangible benefit to a good co-driver relationship, especially for a younger driver. Once they're ready to start listening to the notes and refining that process, it can be really satisfying, even just on a little regional event, say here back home in Ontario, to, you know, run a stage and then run a couple more stages and come back and do that stage again and be, you know, noticeable seconds, half a minute faster. I find that really rewarding, and just the confidence that you can build with a new team like that. So those are the kinds of moments that I really remember with a smile and might be enticed to try again.
Yeah, and I think it definitely, you talk with rally's so different in that aspect, because it's not necessarily, you can be an amazing driver, but if you don't have if you don't have a good person in the seat next to you, you're not going to be real competitive. And I think that's what's so exciting about rally, is it truly is a two-person team. It's not only the driver, but the navigator as well.
Yeah, and when it works and everything's clicking and the notes are on and the driver's listening and I'm confident with the notes that we've created, it feels like you kind of merge into one brain inside the car, and it's a really seamless thing. You don't even think about it. It all just kind of happens. The driver is just reacting to what sounds like to them their own thoughts, and it can be, it's an incredible exercise in teamwork and trust.
Yeah, for sure. I think it, like you said, you get somebody good in that seat, and it totally is such a seamless process, and that's where you see really the success and the level of a team raised, I think, when you do get that synergy.
Yeah, and I think, in rallycross, coming back to rallycross, it's not dissimilar probably to the relationship that the spotter has with a driver, if the team has chosen to use the spotter in a way that the spotter's helping to instruct when to pass and where to move on the track. Having that extra support and an extra set of eyes out there can be super helpful. Not all teams use a spotter that way. Some spotters kind of sit back and let the driver do their own thing, but some drivers really benefit from that. And I think some of the drivers that we're seeing in the championship this year, and in particular I'm thinking of Emma Gilmore, who's going to be driving a Hyundai Veloster with Reese Millen Racing. She comes from a rally background. Patrick Sandell comes from a rally background. And some of those guys use their spotter almost like a co-driver.
Yeah, I think, it's definitely something interesting that I've never really noted, because I guess I've thought about it, but never really thought about it in depth. And I know, with Ken, he's got Alex up there, who obviously Ken and Alex have a great relationship. But I do think it's really something interesting to think about with these stage rally background, drivers and how they do utilize their spotter. I think, they're used to having somebody in that seat next to them, and now all of a sudden competing in a sport where you don't, it's got to be a little different for them.
Oh, for sure. I remember having the experience. I did the virtual co-driver commentator position at X Games for two seasons, where Chrissy Beavis and I were actually in the race cars during head-to-head rally competition at X Games. So we were mic'd live to the television audience, but our drivers couldn't hear us. So we sat down, and I remember having a couple of experiences. One was the first time I went over the jump with Andy Manson, who was a little nervous about it in his Evo 9, as was I, because the previous time I had been over it in an Evo 9, I had front flipped. And we got through the thing. We won the heat together. He couldn't hear me. I was not contributing to his race at all. I was analyzing it. And he gave me a big high five. He's like, awesome, that went so well. You know, you just kind of get used to having that person on your side in the car. And then in another instance, we were in the Coliseum, I guess that was in 2010, and the course was really complicated, and it was very hard to pick out. It was kind of coned out, and you had to come back into the dust, and it was blind. And I think I was sitting beside Dave Mira, and Dave looked over at me, and he was like, where do I go? I was like, dude, I can't tell you. Like, that's your job. And it was just kind of this flash, like, oh, she's not on my side. What am I going to do?
yeah, I can totally, you know, totally see Dave doing that, you know, in space. Just, yeah. no, it's been pretty exciting to see, you know, with the X Games, obviously you've been involved with it since the first rally event, and how it's changed from, you know, say more of a stage rally setting to now being, you know, global rallycross with the rallycross cars.
Yeah, it's been a huge change, and I think it's been X Games has been really important in the development of rallycross in the United States. In 2006, when we debuted rally cars at X Games, it was the final stage in an actual stage rally. We had, I think, about 46 miles of quote-unquote forest stages, which were actually desert stages in this case because we were in Los Angeles and in the National Forest just north of Los Angeles. And it was the final stage, and they scored it so that the points would weight a little bit more importantly, so that when they crossed the finish line in front of the live audience, it was to determine the win of the race. And it has evolved from that to just a head-to-head competition that was just in the stadium with co-drivers, and then the co-drivers were booted out in 2009. Really, we weren't necessary. You know, there was a little bit of teamwork, and there was certainly when I co-drove at X Games, I was responsible for a few things in the car, but the course was so short that the driver really knew where he was going. And the co-driver was largely superfluous. So that was the end of that in 2008. And then in 2010, it was the first time we had rallycross. And the progression's been pretty natural, moving from this long-form rally to a shorter form head-to-head to, hey, this is what it's supposed to be. We're in a small, contained environment. Let's race them head-to-head, get these powerful cars in there and really show what they can do in a small, short course environment. So it's a nice sort of bookend, you know, coming from the long form of the sport and evolution into this short course version of rallycross. It's been a great progression, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens at Austin this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially, you know, Austin, it's really in just a short amount of time become such an iconic venue. I mean, you know, now we're going to have X Games and rallycross there, but obviously Formula One, MotoGP, V8 supercars. I mean, it seems like, you know, most of the major motorsports series in the, you know, not just in the United States, but the world. I know obviously IndyCar hasn't been there yet. I know there's been discussions, but that venue has become so almost iconic in such a short amount of time. It's pretty amazing what they've been able to accomplish there.
Yeah, I was at the first Formula One race there, and it is just a beautiful facility. And I can't wait to see what happens when X Games gets their hands on it and starts building ramps and starts, you know, we start pulling dirt in for the auto venue, the auto sports, and it's going to be really exciting. And I'm curious to see how it's all going to shape up when we get there and what it's going to look like in that venue. Because the venue to me is, I mean, I've been to Formula One there, so to me it's kind of an iconic, like, Formula One build with proper, beautiful curbing and really great track surface and proper, you know, measured pit areas. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when the big action sport circus arrives and gets into that venue and makes it their own.
Yeah, I really, you know, that's been one of the, you know, the back in my mind since the beginning. How is this, you know, because I haven't been there, but I've seen, you know, lots of pictures, lots of races on TV, and it's how is this going to happen? You know, how is the transformation going to occur? You know, I think that's the biggest question people are wondering, you know?
Yeah, we had a lot of practice last year when X Games went global and we went to a whole bunch of different venues. So the transformation will occur. I haven't seen any plans or courses yet, so it'll all be a surprise to me. I'll be there fresh-faced, and I can't wait to see it.
All right. Well, Jen, I appreciate you calling in and just chatting rally and just about anything else we can come up with today. And we'll definitely have to have you back on maybe mid-season sometime and get your thoughts on Global Rallycross in 2014.
Awesome. Great talking to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jen.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Jen Horsey. You know, she's definitely a veteran motorsports personality, just a great person. She's worked, you know, obviously in the driver's seat, in the navigator's seat. She's been involved in, you know, just all kinds of motorsports. I mean, she writes for Racer Magazine, you name it. Just a great person, and you know, I was lucky to be able to work a little bit close to her last year with Global Rallycross, and yeah, she's definitely got a different take on on rally and Global Rallycross in particular, and you know, and has that view because she's been in you know, in all seats and in the booth. You know, she's got definitely a different take on things. So thanks to her for calling in. Obviously, I know she's in Toronto currently, and yeah, it was great having her on air. We're going to take our last short break. When we come back, like I said, we're going to debut our Global Rallycross Power Rankings in the Dirtfish Rally Report. We're going to talk about each major motorsports, action motorsports, and off-road series and what we've learned thus far in 2014. Lots of stuff still to come on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School.
Ford is taking the EcoBoost Challenge coast to coast, asking people like you to test drive Ford versus our leading competitors.
We want to find out which vehicle you prefer, and may the best car win.
I live. I've never driven a Ford before, and I'm impressed.
They're experiencing the power and efficiency of available EcoBoost engine technology.
Wow, this car can go.
It blew the competition away for me.
Ford is totally on my radar now.
During the EcoBoost Challenge, see the amazing mix of performance and fuel efficiency of EcoBoost technology. Get up to $1,500 challenge cash on a new EcoBoost-powered Ford vehicle. Hurry to your Arizona Ford dealer today. $1,500 challenge cash includes $1,000 challenge customer cash and $500 EcoBoost bonus cash. EcoBoost bonus cash offer available on 13 and 14 model year EcoBoost equipped vehicles. Challenge cash available on 2014 Ford vehicles. Challenge cash excludes Focus ST, S, Electric, Mustang, Shelby, Boss, F-150, Raptor, and Transit Connect. Take retail delivery stock by 4/34/34 for restrictions and details.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com That's www.ntenseteees.com. The number one off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet now has its own app. The Down and Dirty Radio Show official app is now available in the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, and Amazon Kindle Store. Just search Down and Dirty Radio Show, and you'll have all the latest news, results, and blockbuster interviews from off-road, rally, drifting, supercross, and snowcross at your fingertips. Hours of interviews from the best drivers and athletes on earth, such as Travis Pastrana, Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Brian Deegan, Robbie Gordon, and Jolene Van Vuit are yours at the touch of a button. Download today and never miss an interview again. Dirtfish Rally School is the premier rally driving school on the West Coast, located in Snoqualmie, Washington. If you're looking for a ton of fun with world-class driving instructors honing your skills, Dirtfish is the place for you. Dirtfish has 315 acres of playground with mixed surfaces for your driving experience. You can spend anywhere from 2 hours to three intense days of instruction refining your driving and racing skills. Whether you are looking for credits towards your Rally America license, honing your racing skills, or just having a fun time, Dirtfish is your school. Your classroom is behind wheel of a 300-horsepower, rally-prepped Subaru STI. These cars have protective cages, suspension modifications, and are built for one purpose: to push you to your limit. By the end of your time at Dirtfish, you will have the confidence to rally with the best. Whether you're looking for a thrilling first-time rally experience or to increase your knowledge and time in the driver's seat, Dirtfish has a driving experience to suit your needs. For any information on their classes, corporate events, or their facility, check them out on the web at www.dirtfish.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dirtfish Rally.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and that leads us right into our Dirtfish Rally Report for this week. And we got a little something special in our Dirtfish Rally Report, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School in Snoqualmie, Washington. Find them on the web at dirtfish.com. We're debuting something a little new, something out of the box that I'm going to be doing this year, and I believe Global Rallycross is going to be doing it. We're going to run these on Race Desert as a feature. We're doing this big tie-in, but I'm debuting them here first on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. It's my 2014 Red Bull Global Rallycross preseason power rankings. We're going to do some power rankings just like they do in the NFL week to week. We're going to be doing it with Global Rallycross this year. And if you guys like it, I may do it for, say, short course, desert racing. I can adapt it to just about anything. So we're going to debut these power rankings. There's reasons behind each one. You want the reasoning, you're going to have to go on the web later today and find out my full reasoning why I ranked people where I rank them, but I'll give you a quick once-over. Coming in at number 15 in our Global Rallycross Power Rankings in this Dirtfish Rally Report, coming in at number 15, the newcomer, Sarah Burgess. She's in the 15th spot, coming in as a drifting veteran into Global Rallycross in her brand-new Chevrolet Sonic. Should be interesting to see how she does this year. Coming in at number 14, Pat Morrow, a Global Rallycross veteran going into his fourth year. He's in a Chevrolet Sonic as well. He's going to be running a partial schedule this year. He's coming in at the 14th spot in these power rankings. Coming in the 13th spot, New Zealand stage rally specialist and 2010's world's best female rally driver, Emma Gilmore. She's coming in at the 13th spot, teaming up with Reese Millen this year. Number 12, in the 12th spot, we got former Formula One and NASCAR racer Nelson Piquet. He's coming in at number 12. Number 11, the NASCAR veteran and son of Colin Dine, the series owner, coming in at number 11, Austin Dine. He's running full-time in a GRC supercar this year, coming in at the 10th spot. And this one, this is a tough one for me to put him at number 10, but we've got Johnny Weeman coming in at the 10th spot, your undefeated 6 out of 6 rounds GRC Lights champion from last year. Became a Red Bull athlete just a few weeks ago. No doubt he's a future GRC champion. I just don't know if it's going to be in his first year, but it darn well could be, and I could be surprised at E-Series in for starting him out in the 10th spot. But for now, Johnny Weeman in at 10th. Number 9th, moving up to 9th position, we got the 2013 Sportsman of the Year award winner, Bucky Lassick. He's coming in at 9th in these power rankings. Coming in at 8th, we got Steve Arpin, one of the nicest guys in the GRC paddock. Steve Arpin had a solid campaign last year, got faster as the year progressed. We got Steve Arpin at number 8. Sverre Isaksson coming in at number 7, your 3-time European champion, took home 2 podiums in 2013, and he's notoriously one of the fastest starters in global rallycross. He's got a new Subaru race car. Him and teammate Bucky Lassick back together again this year. He's coming in at number 7th. Look for him to definitely be in the hunt at the year's end. Coming in at number 6, this one's going to be a little bit controversial for you GRC fans, but I got Scott Speed in the new Volkswagen Andretti program. He's coming in at number 6. Won 2 races last year, awful quick. Had some ups and downs down the stretch. He's definitely going to battle for the 2014 championship, and he could be a definite dark horse this year to take it all. Coming in at number 5, the General, Brian Deegan, one of the most consistent drivers over the past 2 seasons. He's coming at the number 5th spot. Number 4, Reese Mad Skills Millen. He's coming in at the 4th spot in these power rankings. Back with Hyundai full-time, we all know that Veloster has proven to be very competitive in the past. He's tested like crazy this offseason. Reese Millen coming in at 4th in these power rankings. Coming in at 3rd, I ranked him pretty high. I know some of you probably disagree, but he had a great year last year, showed signs of brilliance in his rookie campaign. He's entering his 2nd year back with the same car, took home two X Games medals last year, 1 in Rally, 1 Gymkhana, back with OMSC. Number 3, Patrick Sandell. That's right, I'm really high on Patrick this year. Number 2, our guest from today, none other than 2-time GRC champ Tanner Faust. He's coming in at number 2. Could have been number 1, but, you know, we still don't quite know about that Andretti Volkswagen program. He's coming in at number 2. Definitely after the first round, he could jump up to number 1. You never know what's going to happen. And then coming in at number 1, our guest next week, the fastest driver in GRC last year. Hands down, you can't dispute the stats. His results didn't show how fast he actually was. Coming off a win at the finale in Vegas, the head hoonigan Ken Block coming in at number 1 in these power rankings. So 1, 2, and 3, Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Patrick Sandell. That is your power rankings. We're going to do these power rankings after each and every race this season. Those are my preseason power rankings. Let me know if you agree, if you disagree. Kind of curious to see, but our Dirtfish Rally Report stepped out of the box this week and did our GRC power rankings. So you're going to find those on the web later today, various places, but should be pretty exciting. Wanted to get those out there and kind of stimulate some conversation and get you fans involved and see what you think. If you disagree, I hope you disagree. I want to know about it. Hit me up at JimBeaver15 on Twitter. Let me know what you think. Who should be number 1? Should Tanner be there instead of Ken? I don't know. Are you high on Scott Speed? Should he be all the way up at number 1? Do you disagree with Patrick Sandell at number 3? You let me know. I want to know about it. At JimBeaver15 on Twitter. Hit me up. I tell you what, I can take constructive criticism. Give me a good reason why mine are wrong. I want to hear it. Anyways, that's our Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School in Snoqualmie, Washington. Find out more information on the web at dirtfish.com. And I tell you what, you want to get up there this summer. Summer is the time to go to Dirtfish. Any time is the time to go to Dirtfish, but the summer weather up there in the Seattle area, absolutely beautiful. What's better than a summer vacation in Washington at Dirtfish Rally School? With some Subaru rally cars. I can't think of much better time on vacation than sliding around the forests of Washington in a rally car. So definitely go to dirtfish.com, check them out, and definitely book your vacation. Should be pretty fun summer up there at Dirtfish. I'm definitely making my way up there at least once, probably 2-3 times over the summer and catch up with my friends at Dirtfish. So skipping forward as we wind down the show, we got 10 minutes left in the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and we're going to talk about, I don't want to say a mid-season report, but we're a couple months in, and we're going to talk about what we have learned so far in 2014. 2014 definitely been an interesting year so far, and I got to tell you, it's going to be wild. By the time we hit the summer stretch, it's really going to be exciting. So far, we're going to break down Desert Racing, Global Rallycross, Stadium Super Trucks, Torque, Lucas Oil, Rally America, Formula Drift, and Snowcross, and we're going to do it all in the next 8 minutes. So kicking off things with Desert Racing, we're talking Best in the Desert and Score. What have we learned thus far? I don't know. It's we've definitely learned a lot. I just don't quite know what we've learned. it's definitely been an interesting year. Obviously, what we've learned, the Mint 400, you've got the Baja 1000 and you've got the Mint 400. The Mint 400 has become one of the crown jewels of off-road motorsports. I put it up there right next to Baja 1000 as, the two must-win races of the year. I think both of them just extremely prestigious, and what the Martellis and that media have done with the Mint 400 to elevate it to that level, absolutely amazing. I think there's been more interest in desert racing in this year than it has it probably any time in recent memory. I think Travis Pastrana getting involved, you got a lot of crossover stars. Obviously Sal Mazzucato was at the Mint 400. It's definitely an exciting time to be involved in desert racing, and it's become interesting. I think, looking at entry lists and stuff, the biggest thing we've learned in desert racing this year, series doesn't matter so much as venue does. I think, your Baja 500, 1000, Mint 400, Vegas Torino, Parker 425, those are your big events. It doesn't matter. You're going to get the most entries at those events. Series and points championships don't matter so much in desert racing. It's all about the big wins. So that's what we've learned so far in 2014 as far as desert racing goes. Skipping forward to Global Rallycross, what have we learned thus far? We've learned a lot from Global Rallycross thus far in 2014, and we haven't even got to the first event of the year. What have we learned? I think that Global Rallycross is definitely here to stay. And I got to tell you, I would say what we've learned in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to see it standing tall next to the IndyCars, NHRAs, and NASCARs of this country. Anytime you've got guys like Michael Andretti, Brian Herta, Red Bull involved, obviously OMSC, one of the super teams, they've got they're dedicated to the series. I think it's a great thing, and I take it from Scott Speed. He said this somewhere in an interview, and I'm sorry for not crediting the source because I don't remember where I read or heard this, but I did hear it coming from Scott Speed. He says there's not very many series in this country that a driver can find a ride in an organization without bringing his own sponsorship. In IndyCars, other than a select few, drivers are still bringing sponsorships and buying their own ride. It's just that way in most motorsports. I mean, in Europe, Formula One, it's that way, at the Formula One level. A guy, Scott Speed, said, hey, look, we've got Global Rallycross. He's like, I stepped into a seat with Andretti Volkswagen, with 7-Up backing, and he's like, I didn't bring that sponsor. They had a sponsor on board, and they hired me. I think that's an interesting note. Global Rallycross, that there's these teams and they can go out and hire drivers, and these drivers, it's basically they're filling the seat with the best driver. They're not having to fill the seat with the driver with the most funding. I think it's very interesting to note about Global Rallycross. Definitely GRC here to stay for a long time. Torque, I think, what have we learned? We're one race into the Torque season, and I think Torque, new ownership, BJ Burtwell, definitely elevating the game for the Torque series, doing an amazing job with the TV, doing an amazing job with the online stream, an amazing event at Prim. I think things are definitely coming together for the Torque series, and I think, obviously we've got Charlotte coming up this weekend. I think when we get to their bread and butter of Crandon, of Bark River, I think that the Torque series is really going to shine this year. Lucas Oil, what have we learned? I tell you what, Lucas does what they do when they do it right. They've got huge crowds. They've got huge entry lists. The Lucas Oil Off-Road Series, definitely, very strong, very healthy here in the Southwest United States. I think the big storyline is if and when they're going to start expanding into these venues at, say, Texas and Missouri that we've long heard about, and really making this a national series instead of a Southwestern series. Stadium Super Trucks, what have we learned this year? We learned that definitely Robbie, what have we learned about Stadium Super Trucks? I don't know. I think from the X Games list, there's definitely some driver interest. I think it's aside from X Games, getting those drivers into seats long term in Stadium Super Trucks instead of these one-off events. I think the fans at the IndyCar venues are loving the series. So I think as long as Robbie can keep the fans happy and keep sponsors like Traxxas, who got involved this year, happy, I think it's definitely got some legs. Is Stadium Super Trucks what Robbie thought it was going to be 2 years ago? Absolutely not. But does it have a place in motorsports in this country? I think it does. I think it's finding the right venues to run these trucks at. Next up, I know we're running through these pretty quick, but I told you we would. Formula Drift, what do we learn? It's year 11, and I think we have learned that Formula Drift is definitely here to stay. I think biggest thing with Formula Drift is continuing to put together a package that allows these drifters to solicit sponsors and the sponsors get the return on investment out of what they're doing. I think some of the drivers definitely have hurt finding some funding this year. But I think Formula Drift, they do an amazing job of their live stream. They've got a TV package, and they've been around for 11 years. Who's to say they're not going to be around for another 11? I definitely think Formula Drift, one of the most unique motorsports anywhere in the world, and I love it. And I think it's definitely educating potential fan bases to what the series actually does. And Formula Drift, I think they're going to be around for a long time. And last up, we got two. Rally America. Well, we'll save Snowcross for last, but Rally America. What do we learn from Rally America this year? I think they're definitely making a huge investment in the series, obviously with the TV package. They expanded the schedule this year. I think they're really making a run at making this series a true, it's always been a national-level competition, but they really elevated the package they're putting out there. And I think in the next couple of years, you're definitely going to see more and more sponsors get involved, especially if they can keep the TV package there. Having guys like Ken Travis involved. I mean, Tanner has said that he wants to go back and do some stage rally, all good things. And obviously keeping, guys like Higgins in seats and Antoine Lestage, who people know and relate to Rally America. Snowcross. What have we learned from Snowcross? I think the only thing to take away from this year is somebody needs to catch Tucker Hibbert. Tucker Hibbert, obviously, he's an animal. He has been for the past couple of years, and this offseason, I don't know if they need to give these other sleds some nitrous or what, but it's who's going to catch Tucker Hibbert. Supercross, and rounding things out with Supercross, I think, what have we learned from Supercross this year? I think we've learned that it's probably one of the most exciting motorsports on the planet. This year has not disappointed. It's been wild, and I think TV ratings have been through the roof. They're second to only NASCAR in TV ratings, and I think Supercross I think the biggest thing is when are they going to make the move from Fox Sports to Fox? It's time to move Supercross to network television, and I think that's one of the biggest storylines I see because, the viewership's there. There's no reason it shouldn't be on network TV, and obviously the entertainment value is there. The competition on track's insane. Been a good year for Supercross. So upcoming events, I got to tell you, we got Ken Block on air next week, as well as my buddy Jared DeAnda, the voice of Formula Drift. He'll be calling in next week as well. This weekend, we got Lucas Oil at Lake Elsinore, Torque at Charlotte. We got the Score Series at the Imperial Valley Track, and we've got Supercross from New Jersey. We got a slam-packed weekend of racing action this weekend. It's going to be exciting. Got to give a big thanks to Rigid Industries, Dirtfish Rally School, Arizona Ford Dealers, UPR.com, Blue Water Resort and Casino, Race Tech Seats, Speed Energy, Tanner Faust, Jen Horsey, and every single one of you that have been blowing up my Twitter feed for the last. Thanks for being a fan of the show. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you next week. Give me a follow at JimBeaver15 on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/DownAndDirtyShow. Check out all our back episodes at DownAndDirtyShow.com or in our app available on the Apple Store, the Google Store, as well as the Amazon Store. Get that app. Listen to all these interviews at the touch of a button. And let me know on Twitter. Shoot me an email. Drop me a line on our website about the power rankings. Like I said, you know, top three, Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Patrick Sandell, you know. Let me know if you disagree. I want you to disagree. Let me know about it. We'll see you next week with Ken Block and Jared Deanne on air. Thanks for listening in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. Game on.